Well, welcome to the Memoirs of Abiding podcast. I'm Chris Bryant. We wanted to start something a little different and counter to what many have been taught or learned through experience. Our topics will be practical and theological, focusing on what the early church thought. What we are going to talk about isn't some new idea, but rather an old idea gaining traction again. Artel is sharing our experiences and looking at the Bible in this material. Our ask is that you will take it into your own devotion time and ask the Lord how to best apply it. We will talk about this material each week, and we have blogs addressing practical applications at www.memoirsofabiding.com. We hope you experience God through talking about His Word with us.
Well, welcome back to the Memoirs of Abiding podcast, and I am excited to say that this is our 100th episode. Ricky, I never thought we'd get here.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we're gonna do a little talk tonight, but we're also going to do a little celebration. Well, that failed, didn't it?
I didn't hear a thing.
It didn't pick up the audio, huh?
You probably have to put it right next to the speaker or something.
I go low. Okay, let's try it again.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is it coming through?
Yeah. I'm going to break good times. Come on.
All right. There we go.
You're halfway crazy.
Oh, man. I'm excited. That was great. And I'm glad the audio worked in that.
Right.
I don't own the rights to that, if I have to say that. Okay. Well, good. We have had 100 episodes talking about abiding in the Lord. And, you know, I don't know if there's 100 more. I don't know if there's 5 more. I don't know if there's 20 more. But we'll talk about at the end of the show kind of some things on that. But I want to continue on with our talk here. And we've been covering some pretty deep stuff. Last week, Allison and I talked about being in the trial, being in the fire, and having to go through all of that.
Allison has been such a nice, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to addition. She's just, what a sweet spirit in Christ. And I'm thrilled for what God's doing in her life and her testimony. It's been fantastic.
Amen. Yeah. So we talked about the trial and the pain and everything you go through and that. Now I want to talk about the end result. I want to talk about once we're coming out of that season, if you want to call it a season. And I want to talk about the perseverance and the strength at the very end of these trials. You know, we talked about at first the outlook, the perspective when we are starting the beginning of a trial. We know it's coming. We see the start of it and we say, oh Lord, help me out of this. But there's a different way, right? And we talked about being in the middle of it. Oh God, get me out of this. And wait, there's more to this than meets the eyes, the Transformers might say. But now we've gone through it. We've made it through this troubling season. Could have been very painful, could have been very long. It could have caused a lot of wounds in our life. And, you know, depending on how we were abiding through it, it could have been a time where we saw a lot of growth in our faith, or we could have seen a lot of backsliding. I mean, these are kind of how trials run. I know I've seen both in my own life. So I want to start off with this idea of, what does it mean to persevere through a trial? If you were to say that, Ricky, help me to, I don't want to use cloudy or murky statements in this. So I really want, when we're talking about this and our listeners are hearing that, you got to persevere. We hear that term, persevere through it all. But what does that mean when you say, you know, you can persevere through this? What would you mean by that statement?
For me, it's really clear. In several of our podcasts, in a lot of our podcasts, we return to talking about how the Lord Jesus is our model for abiding, for being fully dependent upon God. Now, within the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they're fully dependent upon one another. They are one, completely, perfectly one. We're invited into that circle, but of course, we do not approach perfection. But we are being asked and we're being taught by the Lord in His Word how to become more and more and more dependent, and so that our life begins to look more and more and more like Jesus. And we have on many occasions talked about how just shortly before the cross, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it said that he was so troubled, you know, he just had to be alone with the Father to pray. He asked the disciples who were with him to also pray, but they kept falling asleep, and he would return and spend more time with the Father. And it tells us there that he was deeply, deeply troubled. I mean, after all, he knew the cross was coming, and he's fully human, though also fully God. He would experience the cross in both capacities. So he even said, "Father, if there be another way, let this cup pass before me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And so I know this sounds like to someone who hasn't listened to much of these podcasts, or maybe has not learned yet what the Bible teaches us about how to abide and what abiding in Christ can accomplish in our lives. But to me, the recovery, or whatever you want to call it, having persevered through a really tough time, a grievous, difficult trial, looks like what Jesus did. And through those trials, I do what Jesus did. I'm like, "Father, I know that trials are not initiated by you, at least not every time. But every trial I face, whatever it might happen to be, no matter how long it takes, you want me to translate my pain into your glory. You know that what is best for me is that I grow more into the image of my Lord Jesus. And somehow, some way, trusting you, depending on you, I'm going to get to the place where I am more mature in my faith and able to handle the next trial more comfortably. And I can naturally say, let this pass. Let me not have to experience it. However, nevertheless, if I must, not my will, but your will be done." I do know that in contemporary American Christianity, that sounds egotistical. But it's what Jesus asks of us. It's what he teaches us. When he uses phrases like, "You shall do greater things than I have done." Wow. You know, "Lord Jesus, what do you have in mind?" Right? In the book of James, the opening chapter, the word of God coming through James via divine inspiration, giving us new revelation. "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, for these trials will produce in you perseverance." And there's a list of words there, and it goes on to perfection. Now, perfection is not the perfection of deity, but maturity, grown up, a healthy, mature walk of dependency in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So That to me is where I want to go. And hallelujah, the longer and the more I abide in the Lord, the more often I actually get there.
I think of perseverance. One of the main individuals in the Bible that I think of is Paul. The reason for it is he went through the muck and the mud.
Yeah.
Rocks. He's been stoned, flogged, beaten, jailed, shipwrecked, bitten by a venomous snake. I mean, on the rack, everywhere he's going. And he continued to say, not my will, but yours. He kept saying, I'm going to keep going. So, oh, well, you could get out anytime. Yeah, but I need to appeal this to Caesar. He needs to hear the truth of this, right?
That's like
that's all in. It's like that. Oh, who's that? Toby Mac? All in? I think that's
a song. I don't remember that one.
Yeah, he says something. How are you going to sit on the couch if you're working? And blah, 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 you're all in. Listeners, forgive me on the poor
recollection. Toby Mac from DC Talk.
What's that?
From DC Talk. Toby Mac.
Yeah. Was he on DC Talk?
Yeah, he's like the lead singer.
Dang. Yeah, I know DC Talk fragmented into a bunch of big names, but I know Tate, Michael Tate was on there too. But
yeah.
Anyway, there was a really big, you know, trial after trial after trial in Paul's life, and he continued to stay the course, run the race to the end, right? I run it as if I'm running the race, and I look to finish. Like that's the kind of language that we start to see what you're talking about, Ricky, where perseverance looks like I'm relying on God to direct my path and continue this race to the end. And what's the race? Bringing God glory through sharing the gospel message with those people in our lives, those people that we come into contact with, even in our trial, right? And it doesn't have to be, you know, here is the story of repentance. It could be through the pain and the trial that we go through, almost like a Job story or a Jeremiah story, where or even I'm thinking Haggai and Gomer. No, I'm thinking the story there that shows God's glory through, you know, the trials of one man, or, you know, whatever the story is, one woman.
And all through scripture like that, right? But
yeah.
it's constantly God saying, there's so much richness of the character of Christ available to you. You mentioned Paul, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, and like I said, in modern days, even in modern Christianity, the way he talks and the way Jesus trains him to talk is almost heretical nowadays. People are like, oh, you can't say stuff like that. Who do you think you are? You know, oh, holier than thou art you, right? But listen to Paul in chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. I must go on boasting. Though there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I'll not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. So he's talking about himself. He just wants them to know, I'm not trying to boast. This is what Jesus does in us, not what we do for ourselves. He goes on, but I refrain, So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan. The word messenger is translated elsewhere as angel. That's what the word angel, angelos, means, is messenger. But in this case, a messenger of Satan. I was given a demon to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." So that's the goal. That's the end, you know, the last 2 weeks talking about great, great grief and coming into it, and then in the middle of it and struggling with it and persevering. And Paul says, I prayed. Lord, remove this thorn in my flesh, this messenger of Satan. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Wow. Now, some of them might say, does that mean he didn't take the thorn away? It sure sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so some trials might be lifelong, but those trials become fuel for the glory of God. Pain partners with the peace of God, and God enables us to give him glory. And when God gets glory through our lives, because we're abiding, we're dependent on our Savior, then it's not just so God looks good. That's not the point. It's that when we draw people closer to God, it's the greatest thing that could ever happen to them. And it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to me or to you, Chris, is to draw closer to God. The closer we draw to God, the better off we all are. So Paul oftentimes uses these phrases, follow me, imitate me as I follow Christ. So that, I think, it's not the end product, because the end product is glorification in heaven, but the end product of what God is wanting us to be able to see happen in our life by abiding carefully, by being fully dependent on him. We begin to see our trials differently. They no longer consume us. They no longer destroy us. They no longer defeat us. They no longer deflate us. They no longer, I can't think of any other words that start with D. They no longer damage us, right? We go, here I am again. I don't like this. Lord, you know I don't like this, but you know what? I like it that you're here with me, and I like it that you're carrying me through this, and I like it that it's shaping me and forming me and carving and buffeting the facets of this lump of coal that's becoming a diamond. And you're making me look more like my Savior. That's a good thing for everybody, everywhere. Yeah.
And you said something that actually is really important. I didn't even think of addressing on here, but I want to reinforce that, because I hear people in this. What happens if the trial lasts for the lifetime? What about like a degenerative disease, rheumatoid arthritis, some form of, you know, whatever, MS or something like that. And the believer in Christ prays for healing, and it doesn't happen. This is a trial that will never end, right? Unless there's a miraculous healing, but in the normative state, we're not going to see everyone miraculously healed in that. So, you know, perseverance in those would look like day-to-day surrendering the pain, the difficulty, the frustration of that to the Lord. Well, what does that look like? Well, Or the question is, how do we know that we're doing that? Well, it looks like this. When I feel the pain in that day, or when I am just overwhelmed that I can't do that, it looks like me looking to the Lord. It looks like me just saying, God, I can't, and I know you can, but in this moment, I don't know how I can get through this. Or even, you know, saying, I don't want to go through this, but I walk through this, walk with me. You know, even in the most desperate of times, I don't want to walk through this, Lord. I'm walking through some difficulties in my own life right now, and I don't know if they'll be lifelong. It's not medical. It's interpersonal. But in my own life, I look at these and say, Lord, I don't want this to have to happen. I don't want to be involved in this specific situation. But I am so desperately dependent on you, because I have no way out of this. I can't get out of this on my own. And each day I have to remind myself that God is with me through this, and that there's no way that I could do this without him. And for me in this, I'm not out of this trial. I don't know if there is an end point, but for the person who is seeing a long-term trial, that's what abiding looks like in that. Lord, I can't, but you can. Your will be done in this, but I surrender, because if I don't, then I'm going to try to control it, fight it, and get out of it, find new ways to protect myself and my heart and my mind from this. And while those can be good things for us to do in certain situations, there are times in which we need the sovereignty of God to push us through these situations.
Yeah, precisely. Well, remind us again of those three phrases that you use all the time. You know.
Yeah, reading the word, God's word, for transformation, not for information. Living a life of dependence on God through surrender and submission, and listening for the promptings of the Holy Spirit, or we call that illumination.
Yeah. So when we pour the word of God into our lives, we're getting the mind of Christ. We then are surrendering more and more and more of our thoughts and our attitudes and our life and our troubles to God. And then God delights in reading his word back to us, communicating his word back to us. And when we do that, then all these truths that God has given us about what it looks like to suffer jump off the pages, because we have read them previously and hidden them away in our hearts. So you were talking about that, and I was prompted by the Holy Spirit about Romans chapter 8. This again is the Apostle Paul being inspired. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation, all of creation, waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For all of creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. There's a future insight. And God, through Paul, like Jesus, teaches us our sufferings are not the main point. In fact, he says, I consider that our present sufferings aren't even worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. There's a time coming that when those who abide in Christ at the culmination of history, where history collides with the new heavens and the new earth, and all of creation, right, will breathe a sigh of relief, will cry out in wonder and glory. The angels creation will be beaming, because we will have gone through the gauntlet with God, and God's people will now be in heaven, and the new heavens and the new earth will be bringing glory upon glory upon glory. And we will look back and go, oh, those sufferings that we were so upset about, my goodness, look what they produced. You know, I mean, we'll probably be patting each other on the back a little bit, and then we'll go, oh, no back patting, because it's not us. It's all Jesus, right? But we'll be able to look, we'll be able to look back and say, that's what that was all about. I remember when my friend Sally went through that terrible, terrible, trying time. But I also remember the glory she gave to God when she gave all that to him. I remember how her children blossomed because she was dependent on God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And three generations later, hundreds and hundreds came to Christ as a result of her children and her grandchildren. We'll look back at history like that.
Yeah.
Trials are one of the primary ways God trains us and teaches us and guides us to become more like Jesus. So you're spot on with what you were saying, that the sufferings, the grievous things that we go through, the more often we depend on the Father and let him have his will in our way. It doesn't mean we can't work for change. Doesn't mean we cannot ask him to change our circumstances. We can do all those things. Jesus taught us that in his Garden of Gethsemane prayer. He did. He asked, Lord, if it's possible. The Apostle Paul did. He prayed three times. You know, and that's, I think that phrase that he prayed three times harkens back to the Old Testament examples of David and Daniel and them, when it said they prayed morning, noon, and night. That's kind of a metaphorical way of saying they prayed all the time. So I don't think it was just three, you know, let me have 5 minutes of prayer, Father, and I'll tell you once again, I'd rather not be going through this. I think what Paul was saying is, I pray all the time that this thorn in his flesh, this messenger of Satan, would be taken away. But God said, no, it's right now it's serving a different purpose, and my grace is sufficient for you. In heaven, Paul looks back and says, oh my goodness. In heaven, James looks back and says, oh my goodness. I can guarantee you, on earth, my beloved Vanita would not ever have wanted to die first, because I know she would never have wanted me and the children to go through what we've gone through, you know, with her being slaughtered on the American highways that way. But in heaven, she's able to say, Father, I get that. I see what my kiddos have become. I see the beauty of those grandchildren. I see what Ricky's been able to do and learning how to abide with you more carefully than he ever could have, minus all the pains and grief in his life. It's perspective, right? It's how we look at it.
Yeah.
It's how we look at it. And it's not like it's a strange, mysterious thing. People shouldn't act as though this is contradictory to reason, that God's being mean to do this. You know, people do this all the time. They face adversity voluntarily to get better at things.
Sure.
Athletes do it all the time. Soldiers do it all the time. You know, people go, man, I'm beat today. I worked 8-hour shift. Well, you're not a soldier on a battlefield. They work 24/7.
Yeah.
As long as necessary. They go without sleep for a long, long time. Without, you know, for whatever is necessary. The human being can endure a lot of things. So we did, people do this all the time. They sacrifice for a better future. They endure hardship for a better future. They go without so their children can have more. They work more than one job so their children can have a better future than their present. They study like crazy to become doctors and engineers and psychologists and pastors and computer technicians and, you know, and the greatest photographer in the world is probably the person who understands the nuances of, I don't know what photographers know, but I know they know stuff.
Sure.
Right? It's not just turn it on automatic like I do and snap it. They adjust the lens and they know the lighting and everything we do is that way. Why, when it comes to our relational lives, we want the motivation to go the other direction? Just get me out of here. Just get me out of this mess. Just get me out of here. Again, that doesn't mean we shouldn't exercise caution and wisdom. God doesn't want us to be abused. There might be some people in history that he has given that specific task to. And he's not asking a lady to leave her and her children in an abusive household. It's perfectly fine for her to move out from underneath that. However, that's not going to stop her grief, right?
No.
That trial's still going to continue. There are some aspects of it that should and must be changed, but it won't change the fact that her heart is hurting. It won't change the fact that she has this grievous trialistic experience. So, you know, the things we've mentioned about perspective, let God translate your pain into his glory and watch what wonders it does in your life.
Yeah. And when you're mentioning that, the first thought that came to my mind before my own situation was, we hear a lot about the Navy SEALs and the elite special forces of the U.S. military. And there's even been some shows that have shown, you know, some of the training they go through, sitting in a group in the frigid cold water, letting it wash over them over and over, waiting for that one person to just say, "I quit." And then everyone can get out of the water, but they all stay in the water. And then they continue to swim until they're about to drown. They go through, you know, all of the SEER training, the search, evade, search, evade, escape, right, whatever.
Resist
or whatever. Yeah. They go through all these trainings that are just difficult. And the whole point is, can we get them to quit? Can they surrender to the trial and say, I give up? Or do they make it through? But here's the point of what we're saying on this. When they finish that training, when they finish all of that, they have the strength to endure multiple gunshots, still running through the battlefield. We see these heroic stories of, you know, movies are made out of some of these guys because they've had like 10 or 12 bullet holes in their body and they're still carrying people out of a building while shooting other people to protect their comrades. I mean, this is stuff that you can't even make up for a movie, and they make these movies for these people. Like, this is craziness. And how do they get there? They build up perseverance and strength through these small trials at their boot camp, and then through their buds and all these other things. And then they're able to survive. They're able to conquer a lot of these other difficult tasks. Mm-hmm. I was thinking in my own life, in my faith, when I had gone through, and I've shared this before, but when I got through the first part of a divorce, the dissolution of my marriage that I didn't want, I was going through and I was depressed, and I got out of it, and I was in this trial of financial ruin, is essentially what I was going through. And I kept saying, God, this isn't fair. I had tried everything to stop my marriage from dissolving. I don't understand why this is. And my perspective was on the temporal, right? Get me out of this. And Ricky, you and I had plenty of conversations this time. And what I eventually realized when I got through to the end was this. While I was suffering on the outside, that I got very little food, I was going more and more into debt, insane amounts of debt, trying to just make it through without even all of these extra expenses. This was, you know, 75% of my money was gone before I got to touch it. That was the truth of what I was going through. And I couldn't survive. And I thought, God, this is not fair. This is not how it was supposed to be, right? I did everything I was supposed to do biblically, trying to overcome all of this, and it didn't work. And now I am suffering while the other party was living their best life, had all the money in the world and no issues there, right? And so I thought, this is just not fair. This is not how it's supposed to be. But what I later learned is during that time when I couldn't pay rent and I had, you know, a church on the other side of the nation bring an offering that I did not expect and humbled me in that. When I had a guy at church say, hey, I felt the Lord telling me to take money out of the ATM yesterday. I have no idea why. But when I saw you walking up to church, I knew why. Here's the money, and handed over a couple hundred dollars. I had a group of guys that pitched in money from some of my game groups. We did board games, and then we eventually did like a tabletop role-playing game, like a Dungeons and Dragons kind of game. These guys raised enough money for me to have a Christmas with my kids, just to enjoy it without having to worry about them turning the lights off, which is where I was pretty close. I say these little miracles that the Lord provided, these little provisions, but all the while I realized there's no way I can do all of this. There's no way that I could even talk to the right people, but God provided for that. And what that did was, and I'm still in the same trial. I'm still not out of it. But when I look at where I am now, I can say through the perseverance of being able to go through this, and not like I really had a choice. I mean, I'm going to be honest in that one. I guess I could have just given up my rights and walked away. I mean, that would be the surrender of my circumstances, but just staying in this and allowing God to persevere through my trial, I have a strength now that I've never, nor do I think I could have ever grasped. And the strength is not in my own ability to accomplish anything, but the strength comes from knowing that God got me through the worst of that time frame. And never allowed me to take more than I could. He never allowed me to starve for so long that I was hospitalized. He never allowed me to get so far in debt that a simple offering from one of his people or other people couldn't help me to continue on. I was never homeless. I was never without a vehicle. I was never without work. He continued to provide in all those ways. And so now when I look at trials in my life that come up, I can say, Lord, here's another one for you. I'm going to hand this one to you. I'm not even going to touch this. Yeah. In this situation now, it's like, Lord, there's no way I have to hear a very important person in my life say, this is awful. And I say, what can I do? And they say, you know, you can't do anything. You can't help me at all. And I say, you're right. I can't. And it's just crying with that person and saying, I know. I absolutely know. But knowing this, that even though that's the truth, I know that God is still holding my hand. I know that God still has his wings around me and that he is never going to let me fall to the point that I can't stand up with him, right? Where two or more a strand of two is not easily broken, nor is three. Where one falls, the other one can lift them up. And in many cases, God himself has been that for me. Could not have continued. So what is that? What is the outcome of this? Well, the outcome is this. I can stand firm in the most heinous of circumstances. And I can stand there with contentment and joy, knowing that God will get me through. Do I want to go through this trial? No, I don't want to go through this at all right now. But I'm in it. And so I'm going to allow the Lord to move through my life and see, well, what does this bring about? More perseverance? What does this perseverance bring about? More faith that God is in control and God is going to get me through it. And that's what I look forward to. So, you know, much like the Navy SEAL or the Green Beret or the Marine Special Forces goes through those trials and it builds a strength in them, a fortitude that could not be developed otherwise. In our own spiritual life as believers and abiders in Christ, those who abide in Christ, we will find the same strength and level of faith deepen more and more as we go through more and more of these trials. And, you know, I am so thankful for the trials that I've gone through. And even the ones 10 years ago that I failed miserably, but even the ones 6 years ago that I failed miserably, I'm thankful for those because it's given me perspective on the ones that I've failed. It's given me perspective on the ones that I've walked through and so far have depended on the Lord. It has really given me a strength knowing that, okay, well, the next one that comes along, like you said, the next one that comes along, I will go through more comfortably knowing that God has it and I don't.
Yeah, not only does God have it, God has us. I remember when I was a little boy, we lived in this little tiny town called McIntosh, South Dakota, and they had this little tiny movie theater. And I don't remember the movies that I saw, but I remember this thing that came on as a, it wasn't like one of the previews or something. It was just this, came on every time, before every movie. And it was that song, He's Got the Whole World in His Hand. He's got the, you and me, brother, in His Hand. He's got the little bitty baby. He's got the whole world in His Hand. And I'm a little boy, right? And we left that town when I was not quite five. And my sister just sent me a text. She said, have you noticed that the population back in McIntosh now is at 100? And she said, back when we were little, it was a whopping 600. That's McIntosh, South Dakota. But he's got the whole world in his hand. Here's the thing about learning to abide, because the key, our emotions are wrapped up in all of this, right? If we do not have the motivational, emotional awareness of the presence of God, then we're left to just our willpower to work our way through it, to accept it. Okay, I'll deal with these trials because I know these trials will teach me to be more like Jesus. No matter how much I don't want to do it, doggone it, I'm going to make it happen, right? You know, and if that's all that a person has, that would be good to do. But Jesus says in John chapter 15 and verse 11, and when you abide in me like I abide in my Father, my joy will be made complete in you. There'll be an emotional charge because we recognize the presence of God. Well, how do we recognize the presence of God? What you talked about a little earlier, the illumination of the Word of God in our mind. As we pour God's Word into our life day in and day out, we burn it into our memory. Not so much through memory technique, but just reading it meaningfully, prayerfully, all the time, taking a book of the Bible and reading it over and over, understanding it, letting God sear it into our souls. Then in real time, when we're going through these trials, these passages of Scripture will come to our hearts. And here's what we'll know when that happens. Father God, you're talking to me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you're talking to me the very way you said you would. It's exactly what Jesus said. You might look this up if you're listening to this podcast, John chapter 14, verse 26. This is what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit would come and he would remind us of all the things that Jesus taught. Well, how's he going to remind us if we don't hide it away in our heart and soul? Or you might read Psalm 119. And as you begin to understand how the Word of God works, how he wants to speak to you, you'll recognize that that's not just your memory, but God charging your memory and reminding you. And so then we come to a passage like in the book of James. Okay, so count it all joy, my brethren, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And then steadfastness has its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's spiritual maturity, not godlike perfection. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. What will be given? Wisdom. And what wisdom will he give us? The wisdom of the Word of God. You know, not how to turn a wrench and fix the broken thing on my car, but the wisdom of the Word of God. So if I haven't hidden enough of the Word of God away, I continue to read. And as I am going through these trials, then this process that you've been talking about, it tests my faith. It produces steadfastness. The steadfastness has a full effect by bringing us to spiritual maturity. And even then, if I lack wisdom, I ask God, and God will bring to my heart and my soul and my mind that passage of scripture I need in that moment of time. He speaks to us that way. And when that happens, I don't know how to explain it to people. I get goosebumps because I know this is exactly what Jesus said he would do.
Yeah.
This is what he said would be the primary way I would know that he was working in and through me, is that his word would flood my heart, my soul, my mind. And it's not as though he promised it to future generations. It was the methodology that God's people had been using for centuries. They would hear, if they couldn't read, you know, in the Old Testament time. So the prophets and the priest, the children grew up learning the word of God verbally. And it would be seared into their heart and soul. You can read Deuteronomy chapter 6, Joshua chapter 1, Psalm 119, Psalm 19, over and over again, Jeremiah chapter 1. God would be with us, with people, and they would learn his word and they would recognize his presence because he would illuminate their heart with his truth. And man, when that happens, the perseverance grows, the mind of Christ grows within us, and grief and hardship and trial and suffering, they all take on a whole new light. That's why I love to abide. That's why I like that we've done 100 episodes.
Yeah. So I like that. That's a good stopping point for the, you know, the talk on there. Wow. I love that. So let's reminisce here. Let's reminisce about the last 100 episodes, because I want to lighten it up here a little bit. Sure. So, you know, we have had, this is number 100, and I'm excited about that. I didn't actually know if we'd ever make 100. We went through the first 10, and it was like, all right, now where do we go with this? But I do enjoy the conversations, and I hope it's fruitful for everyone listening. But you know, maybe you've been listening, maybe you've made it through 100, I don't know. But let's talk. What's been your favorite episode, Ricky, and why is that your favorite episode? Or maybe it was just the point, like what was the favorite talking bit?
I've liked every one of them, but the first ones when we first started, for one, when I go back and listen to some of those, I'm not so sure you and I are the best podcast guys. I mean, I've listened to some people in their podcasts, and they are so articulate and so well-spoken. And I know that's not what God's looking for, and I think it's totally fine that a couple knuckleheads filled with the Word of God. You know, like Moses, right? Moses and God in the wilderness. That's all God needed, right? A guy with sandals and a willingness to listen to him. But in the early ones, I remember stumbling over my words a lot, trying to make it sound just perfect. So they're cute to me. So for me to go back and listen to them that way, I feel like I've gotten a little bit better. So I get a kick out of listening to them. But more importantly, I like the early ones because we major on the fundamentals of what it means to abide. You literally began in podcast number one. Let's talk about abiding in Christ. And let's begin by talking about the word abide. Where does this word come from? What does this word mean? How is it used in the Bible? Why did Jesus focus on this word? How does this verb abide relate to the noun abode? When Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if I go there, I'll prepare a place for you." Literally, he used the word abode, the noun form of abide. I will make an abode for you in heaven. Well, about 22 verses or so later in that chapter, Jesus says, "And I will come, and the Father will come, and we will make our abode in you." Literally, we will make our living place in you. Wow. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Almighty God will abide in you and I. They will dwell with you and I. And it just brings to life that abiding is not just a spiritual practice. It is the full meaning of what is it like to be in a true emotional, motivational relationship with somebody, because God can't invite us into a relationship and then not be a relationship, as in not being able to talk to him and not being able to hear back from him. And so in those early podcasts, you know, the questions you ask, we explored all those things like illumination. What is our purpose in life? What is the true identity of a human being? What is the purpose and identity of a born-again believer? And then all the practical implications of how we go about abiding. So I think those first five or so are just fundamental. All the others stem from those. And so those are my favorite. They're my favorite. Then there was another one where I don't remember I remember which number it is now, but you asked me the question, "Ricky, in abiding, how has abiding become special to you?" A question like that. What has it meant to you? And I was able to share my testimony about losing my sweetheart to a drunk driver.
Powerful. Yeah, I remember that.
To a drunk driver, and what that did to my children and what it did to our family, and how abiding in Christ rescued us, continues to rescue us. Yeah. So, I'm not the only one. We've had guests on that have shared their personal story, and you've asked them that question. How does abiding in the Lord make a difference in this difficult thing you go through? And some people have shared their stories, and those are powerful as well. So, yeah, it's hard to pick, but those early ones and those personal ones, I guess, are my favorites.
Yeah.
If you were to ask me in the middle of a week, what's my favorite one? I'd say the one we did this week. Because It seems like whatever we deal with in the weekly podcast, the truth of that pops up in my life. I don't know why that is. I don't know if God's doing something, but it seems like, and I think it's just that it's that reminder, and God uses it in my life as that very week.
Yeah, I was just using the last 2 weeks, like encouraging people going through some difficult
tough times.
Trials. So yeah, I see that. Episodes or topics that we've talked about, what is or has been your favorite episode and why?
Should I give you like the traditional teacher answer of I have no favorites? I like them all, which is somewhat true here, but I think when this posed this question, there's a series that you and Ricky did on God's will that stands out in my mind. And just the general conversations as we go through life and changes come our way. And quite often we are all very conscious of where does God want me to go? And there's, I think it was like a 3-part series that was just absolutely wonderful and eye-opening. So if you haven't listened, it was like in a, I think was that January of 2022?
23, yeah. It was 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Season 4.
Oh, it is wonderful. And you guys even talked on, you know, the conversations of doors open, doors close, and just really being able to discern God's will and what that looks like in your life. Really powerful and impactful series.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that one because it was interesting to compare and contrast. Even now, talking to others, you know, I believe this is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden something changes and I don't understand why God isn't allowing this to happen. Like, well, maybe that's an indication that it wasn't necessarily his will. And his will isn't this straight line, but his will is this umbrella of, is this contrary to biblical truth? No. Is it wise for this time of life? No, then it doesn't seem to be in God's will. But if it's wise in this time of life and I'm doing it with a heart of worship towards the Lord, well then absolutely it's within God's will. Yeah, that was a really interesting set of situations that we went through.
Right, and I even appreciated, you know, your heart posture towards God, because when I reflected even in my own life, the amount of times where I was forcing my heart to be in a good posture towards God to get the circumstance that I wanted instead of a true surrender. It helped me reflect on that as well in life. So,
yeah.
Good job.
I love that. That's great. I think my number one, I went back through them all and was just recalling some of the notes from it, but it had to be, I think it was 110.
110.
Episode 10. That was the preparing for the storm.
And oh.
I really like that one because it focused
not episode 110, but year one or chapter one, whatever what it's called. Season one, episode 10.
Yes. Yeah, so,
yeah,
I did not go in back into the future and record this one.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, season one, episode 10, /10. Because it was about preparing for the storm, and the storm being kind of what we're talking about right now, these trials. And I remember that one was so impactful because it really, like, I was almost processing that stuff while we were talking about it. And man, it was like, I think it was the image that we talked about, like the go bag, the preparing for the storm with a bag that has a lantern or a flashlight and some spare food and some, you know, maybe some medication. And when we were talking about that, and that was kind of coming into my head, I hadn't really thought about that aspect before, you know, when we kind of talked the notes of what we were going to go through. And then when I mentioned that, and it was like, oh, wow, when we do that spiritually, that's huge. Like, that is something that I didn't even think of. And that's in the daily. Like, that's when I'm waking up and I'm pouring God's word into my heart, or right before bed, if I pour God's word in my heart, or right at lunchtime when I pour God's word into my heart, and when I engage in him in prayer, or when I have an episode where I just need to fast for the Lord and really realign my spirit. It's those moments that really stood out to me, because when I've been going through these storms recently, that's been one thing that I've been thankful, and I can look at and I can say, well, time to grab the go bag or the whatever I said, the go bag. It's time to grab the bag and get ready for this next storm. And thank goodness I already have it packed. Thank goodness it's not now that I'm opening up God's word. It's the last 4 months of opening God's word that now I have all of that stored up. And that was profoundly impactful for me, rolling into the four storms, you know, the people that we had the loss of the almost loss of a child, the loss of a spouse, the loss of a marriage. And I think there was one more, I can't recall exactly what that was, but it was pretty
impressive. Well, I think that was where it was in that series that I got to that you asked me to share my testimony. I think if I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah, preparing for the storm, fear for children in the storm, storm of the loss of our beloved, storm over the fear of losing a child, and then the perfect storm. Yeah, those were fantastic, because they were just so close to our hearts. And we had a testimony of other people during that series, right?
Yeah, I think it was a total of four.
Yeah. No, it's been a sheer pleasure, a privilege, and I know for you, but I know certainly for myself, talking about abiding is a means of learning about abiding.
Yeah,
that's another lesson I think we can draw from all of it. You know, dear listener, if you're struggling, if you're wanting to learn how to abide, you know, get with a friend, you know, or if you're married, you know, get with your beloved, or sit down with your children, listen to one of the podcasts, and then talk about it, and grab your Bible and read those passages, read them in context, and begin to pour God's word into your heart. You know, jot notes down, do whatever you need to do to fill your heart, soul, mind, and spirit with God's word, because his word will wash away all the worldly habits and strange ideas that we humans are filled with, and replace it with the mind of Christ, and your life will change. Amen.
Yeah, I love that. Well, we've got through the 100. We just partied on at the beginning of this podcast, and we'll keep partying through these, you know, as we go. But I'm going to leave a note on there. Go ahead and, you know, if you've made it this far with us as part of our celebration, whether you're on Spotify or you could do a comment on the Memoirs of Abiding, if you're on Apple and they give you the option, I've put a question on there. Go ahead and share what your favorite has been and why. I'd be curious to hear, you know, how this has impacted other people. So I look forward to hearing that from y'all, and continuing to walk through these and seeing where the Lord takes all of these. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you again for this partnership with Ricky and with Allison, and but most importantly with you. I thank you that you've put this on our hearts to talk about this and walk through this in this life and to share this with other people. Lord, I praise you for your word and how you continue to bring about the wisdom and understanding of your word in everyday circumstances and trials, modern day ones, not just some outdated book of fairy tales, Lord, but something that continues to provide real-time wisdom and knowledge, helping us through different situations and circumstances, Lord. And it's amazing how so many of these different portions that we can talk about have real-time effects for today, that I can look at an Old Testament prophet and what they're going through, and I can relate to that. I can read a psalm and have hope for tomorrow, not because that psalmist did, but because you are still the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can stand on that truth of that. Thank you for the understanding, but I thank you even more so for your character, that you are immutable, unchanging, and that you are faithful and righteous and just, that you are compassionate, intentional, and you continue to love us through it all. And I just thank you for that, Lord. And I pray for all of our listeners that you would continue to show up day in and day out, that they would continue to put their faith in you day in and day out, that they would build this wonderful relationship with you, closer and closer, finding more and more of their identity, purpose, and meaning in this life behind you and your will. And just continue to praise you for what you do. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray, and in his blood, amen.
Amen.
We want to end with an important scripture that reminds us to abide in him. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." As you walk through this week, we encourage you to review the scriptures and themes we talk about and ask the Holy Spirit to team up with you to bring this information to life, personally, in your walk. Thank you for listening, and God bless.